Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You think about this, that Jesus, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, and for 3 years he ministered, he made the Father known, the love of God known to us. He's the face of God. He's the image of the invisible God, Son of God. And at some point, at the very end of his ministry, after his death, burial, and resurrection, he walked and he showed himself, but then he said, I'm out of here. I'm leaving it with you. Go wait, and I'm going to release the Holy Spirit, but wait until the power, the dunamis power that you've seen in my life, when you saw the water baptism took place. But after the water baptism, you remember that with John the Baptist? All of a sudden, then the Holy Spirit came upon me, which was after the water baptism in the context of that. And he said, wait for this power. And then they did. And of course, Acts begins to talk about. This is the beginning of the book of Acts. The Acts called Acts because it's the Acts of the church. And so the church began. And the church began, it began right where it was. They were actually sitting in a house and waiting. And they were sitting, by the way. And they were waiting. And then all of a sudden, suddenly, the Holy Spirit shows up and the church is launched. When Stephen was stoned, moving a little forward here and understanding, when Saul wanted to persecute the church after watching and organizing Stephen's death, once that happened, this evil darkness, just like what's taking place in Iraq and the Middle East now, immediately ran after the church. And he found the church in the houses. He went from house to house pulling the church out. And to have them, you know, bondage and have them deny the faith and that type of thing. This is before he got saved. And so, and then you talk about Priscilla and Aquila and the church that's in their houses. He's talking about it. And you know, Paul went from house to house, and but so that there is this, you got two streams of understanding in the context of that, from what my experiences are and what I'm actually reading, that the church is the church is the church is the church. There's not a different expectation for the church. I mean, God says, you know, whatever, wherever you're meeting, it doesn't matter where you're under a tree or you're in a stucco mega thing with, you know, direction signs with big screens and everything, or you're in a house. I mean, his expectations are the same. This was written, the word of God was written and penned in the context of houses at that point, because they're going to be persecuted. So that means this, it means that everything that God says about his church applies to us no matter what we're meeting in. So when God began to call me on a journey, you know, from a traditional church plant and what some would refer to, you know, mega church would be something they say, you know, like how Larry Kreider defines it. It's 1,000 or more that meet on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty cool. 1,000 believers coming together to do anything is pretty cool. And then a community church would be something under that. But the majority of churches in that context are really like 99 and below. I mean, there's not really, that's about the size of them. They're about 99 and below. And then you have in different size houses. For example, I think when Rick Joyner was meeting in his house, and that's where Morningstar Ministry started, I mean, he has a big house because he had a couple hundred people meeting in his house. I don't know if they met at the same time or not, but it was a house. Benny Hinn, you know, Benny Hinn, when he was transitioning from where he was to where he is today, I believe it was in Canada, where he met for a while in a house to regain his composure and get his direction in the context of that. And so when God began to speak to me about, he wanted, and then you have Peter Wagner with Wagner Institute that says the fastest form of soul winning that there is, the quickest way and the greatest way to be able to win souls above anything else, is new church plants. A new church plant. So you think about it, you go into an area, you know, you begin to preach the gospel, you share the gospel, you win people in, everybody's excited because you have the newness of it and they're feeling a part of it, versus all of a sudden, you know, quite often churches stagnate because we got just enough to take care of what we have. You know, we have to build onto this thing, you know, all these kind of things that stagnated. So how could you stay in a perpetual church planting mode? And that's where I believe that the church belongs, which is, you know, if you have whatever, you know, form of gathering that you're in, you should always be thinking about how can we plant more of these? Mm-hmm. You know, how can we plant new churches? Because more people are going to be one to the Lord. You have transfer growth, and then you have growth. And,
right.
And a lot of it's transfer growth, where people just go, this is the new thing, and they just switch to the new thing, right. Or I like him better, or like her better, whatever. And because you hear him, this argument was in the Bible. He talks about it. Paul says, you're saying you follow this one, another one saying you're following that one. I'm glad you didn't baptize any of you. Right. Oh, except Bob and Steve and three others. But I don't think anybody else said, you know, it's like the same argument.
Yeah, right.
And so, but you know, as God began to train me up, and this is specifically what he had just poured into my heart was, you know, how do we bring the gospel to this next generation? How do we stay in this perpetual form of church planting? And so he began me on a journey, and maybe this might encourage you. Maybe God's calling you on this journey. And I was ready. I was ready for 5 years, 10 years, whatever it took, didn't matter to me. I was going to wait on God, just wait on God and what God wanted. And, I did the traditional aspect of it, talked to a whole bunch of folks that aren't planning on doing anything that criticize you for what, and it's like, you've been here 20 years, aren't you going to do something by now?
Right.
And it's not that they're not saved or anything like that, but it's like, there's more than this. And when you're looking at people dying for their faith in the Middle East, then you look at us and we're talking about a cappuccino bar or whatever. And it's like, I'm not against cappuccino bar, but it's like, this is, if that cappuccino can purchase an entire year's wages for someone, you know, we got to think about this.
Yeah.
And so you start finding out when you're beginning to move in this area of how do you stay in a perpetual church plant, that those who are not interested in planting anything other than what they have, they're going to struggle with you a little bit. And the thing is, you got to, and we're going to go to break and we'll talk more about it, but understand they're of God and you have to honor what they're doing. And that's the church. And so how do we honor what God has done, is doing, for what he's about to do? And so I want to talk about that, because remember, we're all the church and we have to work together in the context of this. And honor is the way to walk through this. Honor God and honor each other, and you can see God do some pretty awesome things. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Technology is making it possible for millions of people to access the Bible, many for the first time. What used to take years to distribute Bibles to new people groups can now be done almost instantly, even in the remotest areas of the world.
YouVersion Alone is a popular mobile Bible app. It has 1,200 plus versions of the Bible available in over 900 plus languages, with 50 new Bible versions being developed and 39 new languages added through partnerships with Bible societies around the world.
Museum of the Bible is also using technology to engage more people with the Bible through an interactive textbook using virtual reality. Museum of the Bible, which will open in Washington, D.C. in November 2017, will be one of the most technologically advanced museums of the world.
The Bible, the book of all books for a digital age.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
We are in a major apostolic reformation season in the church. The church means fellowship in the Bible, but it also means straddle the jail, warring. So in the midst of this season, God is raising up through our fellowship a warring unit that knows how to move forward to accomplish his purposes in the earth. We want you to know that you need to connect with an apostolic movement, or else you need to be a part of building an apostolic structure. And we want to encourage you, as you move forward in this season of the church, that you be a part of the apostolic church arising.
Welcome back to VFN TV. host, Greg Lancaster.
So what happened was I just began, we're talking about, you know, what is the church and, you know, what is the original intent? What are we supposed to do? How, if we can stay in a place of perpetual church planting, then more souls will be won into the kingdom of God. And so how do you do that? And of course, I was prepared just to wait on the Lord. If it took 5 years, I mean, because what was happening, believe me, it's going to continue to happen. That's no matter what. And so it was probably a week. I had a set time and a set place. And, you know, we were just going to meet and just pray and seek the Lord what to do. I mean, immediately God began to send people to me that normally never came to me at all. And I started to realize, God, you're more into your kingdom than we are. And rapidly miracles begin to happen. We begin to people, not just the pastors hearing from God. Everybody's starting to hear from God.
Yeah.
Everybody's getting dreams. And it was just, and then all of a sudden, you know, a new church plant was beginning to happen. And then another one was beginning to happen. And all of a sudden I'm like, whoa, I'm responsible for this. You know, we have to be very careful what we're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just do whatever. I mean, it's going to mutate. It's going to turn into something. And believe me, if you do it right, it still does at times. So I began to seek the Lord, and the Lord, and the Lord released me, by the way. He came to my office and showed up in my office and power. And it was an amazing thing. And he said, now it's time to go for this. This is what he wanted me to do. And at that time, my spiritual father, Brother Ken Summerall, and by the way, every bit of this is undercovering, you know, always walked undercovering. Why would you not want to walk in relationship with someone who loves you and is overseeing things that are going on? You're able to talk like, am I losing my mind or something? And so in that, I began to seek the Lord, and the Lord spoke to me and gave me these words. He said, I'm going to teach you something for the next 3 years that I'm going to use for the next 30 years. And so I said, okay, I'm going to go to school. And so we began to, then it's forming now. Whatever's beginning to Holy Spirit's hovering over the face of whatever it is, and it's beginning to form, and we're beginning to understand what God is doing while honoring what God has done and watching things happen. And we just seen some pretty powerful things. It was like everything. As a matter of fact, one particular person that was amongst our number said, it was like stepping out of a flower pot, talking about coming out of tradition, into the fourth chapter of Acts. Because it's like a whirlwind. And we had people come in to this gathering, and, you know, there's no hype. I mean, you know, I'm just too tired for hype. So, and besides, if you got a hype, if it takes hype to bring somebody in, that wasn't God, it was you.
Yeah.
And I just never saw Jesus hype in anything. Matter of fact, Paul said, I crank it down a notch. I make sure that it's not me and that it's the power of God. And so, anyway, we saw people come in that had evil intentions towards the church and wanted to do harm to it. And all of a sudden, God just grabbed this particular person by the throat and just held them in a chokehold until they left. And all we were doing, just worshiping God. We had other people that were delivered in the presence and power of God through the wisdom of God that it came out. But in the context of that, we were just like, whoa, you know, this is everything that God says. It's real. It's real. And that was very encouraging, because how often have you been involved in a gathering that you talk about these things, but you don't see these things? And the church is ready to see some stuff. I like what you hear Dutch, and we had Dutch, some of Dutch's stuff on. He's saying, listen, this generation wants to see things.
Yeah.
They want to see the power of God. And you do too. I mean, everybody does. And so in the context of that, what was learned is that, sticking to biblical principles, whatever God says the church is, that's what it is. And he says, you know, that it'll be shepherded, it'll be pastored, it'll be rightly related and connected and apostolically connected and all those different things. And it always was. We're just following God, you know, and what, you know, what this thing is going out. But ultimately, you know, you're just watching what God's doing. Your guiding light is the Word of God, and you're spending time abiding with God, and you're talking to others that are walking with you. But and it's amazing too how the religious spirit starts rising up. It's like, why would you be concerned about the power of God, the presence of God, the voice of God, you know, people hearing all that. So, yeah. And so then, but then I understood because I had opportunity to, Donna had opportunity to be able to give somebody a place to stay for a little bit while they were actually being a part of a, some sort of conference or whatever. And they automatically thought that what we were doing was what they were doing. And so I didn't say anything, you know, I just listened. And they were in what's called house churches. And like I said, no matter where you meet, you're the church. I mean, it very well could be the church, I don't know, but you know, I never called it a shopping center church, but if you call it a house church, okay. And so they're just specifically just saying, and they don't realize everything they're saying is exactly what we're doing. We're not doing what that they're doing. We're doing what the Word of God says.
Right.
We're doing that, which is the same thing the church is doing everywhere, whether it's in China, whether it's in Iraq, whether it's in America. There's expectations. God has, you know, this should be shepherded. That church should be shepherded by a pastor. And so at the very end of our, and I'm realizing, oh, we're not that. It's like, that's not, no. And so at the very end of our and very nice folks, but at the very end of our time together, I said, you know, I didn't want them leaving without knowing, you know, who we are and what we're doing. And so I began to explain that everything that you talked against is exactly that's who we are, you know.
Right.
And the reason why we have, you know, for example, VFN TV, it's called Family TV, and it goes into all the different churches around where there's churches, so there can be a plumb line, there can be a word over that it can be shepherded, and a pastor in every church, and not just anybody, but a rightly related, trained up, you know, pastor. And at that point, I realized, you know, that is not what we're doing at all. But it wasn't until Jack Hollis, he's an apostle and is right now also a pastor over Marianna, Florida, when he said the question was, there's a big difference between house church and church in a house. And I thought, man, you nailed it. I had no idea that people were doing something else in that building, in that shopping center, in that house, at that coffee shop. So I just want to encourage you right now that get into the Word of God and get rightly related. God has not called us to be rebellious. God has not called us to go out and just step outside of His Word and His way of doing things. Besides, we need each other. We totally need each other. And when you say there's a big difference between house church and church and house, there's a big difference between, you know, just whatever goes versus a church in a building, church in a stucco building, church in a brick building, church in a wooden building, church in a coffee shop, church in a house, church in the building does not define because you're the building of God. But what does define us? Are we walking out biblical principles according to the church? Is your church pastored? Is there anybody God is called to be over that flock? And is that pastor pastored? Are they rightly related and connected? Because we're one family in the context of that. And sometimes it's not always possible, but pretty much it is. I mean, it's not that hard to be rightly related. And so in the context of this, that's where the Lord, we began to see that what we're going to need is a training center. We're going to need a place, and it's a church acting as an apostolic hub, that where the church is gathering and meeting and all the things that happen at church, but its focus is specifically to be able to train and launch these pastors, these new church plants, however they're going to launch, these missionaries, these business missionaries, and to feed into them and to cover them and to encourage, and yes, at times correct, and sometimes to back up the pastors, because pastors go through some real difficult times, but not when it's rightly related. And that's what the context that God has shown us, that we're a family, families have fathers, and we're rightly related in the context of that. So we're able to be there with the pastors in our network of churches to back them up, to be there for them. Mm-hmm. And it just empowers the church in whatever capacity that God's calling, whatever building format they're calling to be in. So I just want to encourage you that maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Maybe you're called to be a part of connecting and relating and finding out how to be a part of what Peter Wagner says is the greatest form of soul winning there is, which is the constant state of new church plants. But not it's a church plant, a biblical church plant, where it's being shepherded, it's being covered, it's, you're open for correction, that you listen, that people can speak into your life, and that people can trust you, and that you're not, you know, you're just right. You're walking rightly before the Lord, not perfect, but rightly before the Lord. And we have VFNU, we have Vine Fellowship Network University and the VFN Dream Center for that reason, to be able to, the lessons that we've learned, what God has shown us, there is a way to stay in a perpetual church planting mode, bringing in souls into the kingdom of God, making disciples for Jesus Christ without leaving the blueprint that God gave us in His Word. And we can honor the church, whether they meet 1,000 or more, whether they meet under 1,000, whether 500 members, whether there's 99 members, or whether it's a small gathering of 20 or 50. Understand this, that there's a big, big difference between going with the wind, your wind, the worldly wind, and going with the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God does not contradict the Word of God, and going in the ways of God. So I want to encourage you. Maybe that's you. And there's several apostolic centers that are they're coming up and been around in the land. Maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Come join us. Be a part of a launching pad, launching you potentially into your destiny, being rightly related and being a part of a church planting movement.
We'll be right back. Can a public school exclude Christian groups from using their facilities? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Yeah, I would like to know if facilities form at a public school can state that religious activities or religious organizations are prohibited from using facilities.
Absolutely not. We've litigated that case now 3 times at the Supreme Court of the United States. The first time we won it in an 8-1 decision. The second time the case was unanimous. Even the third time, which was an elementary school level case, we won 6-3 overwhelmingly. So the answer is no. There cannot be a religious exclusion from access to a generally available public facility. If they allow community groups to utilize these facilities, they cannot deny a Christian group from utilizing those facilities because their message is one that has religious connotation, religious thought, or religious belief.
Join the American Center for Law and Justice in defending our religious liberties. Find out more at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
I was looking at Proverbs, the wisdom moment for today. You know, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3 and 4 says, you know, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Think about that. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. And man. You know, so many people are saying, you know, they love the Lord, and it's like, is there any faithfulness or love around your neck here right now? It's like, I mean, he says, you know, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Think about love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. It's long-suffering. It doesn't boast. It keeps no records of wrongs. It doesn't delight in evil. It always rejoices in the truth, and it never fails. I mean, so always staying in that, not in your, I'm a prophet, you know, I can lay hands on the sick and they recover, or I got wisdom, I can teach. It's like, well, that's considered a tingling cymbal or a banging gong of not having love in your life. Believe it or not, it really is. It's what God says, Romans chapter 13, or 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But he says, so let love never leave you, bind them around your neck, let faithfulness. I mean, faithfulness is so powerful. It's a powerful thing. It's a beautiful thing. But yet, there's very little beauty going around about faithfulness. There's always a loophole in every situation, every relationship, every commitment. There's a loophole in it. Obviously, life's not perfect and things happen. But if every relationship you have has a loophole in it, you're just not faithful. Mm. You're just not faithful. Because being faithful is something before God that you, it's going to require suffrage. It's going to require you to do without sometimes. It's going to require you to, it's something that God rewards. Mm-hmm.
He's faithful to us. He's mm-hmm. faithful to the faithless. And he says, you know, we're supposed to imitate the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Lord God, forgive me for the times that love and faithfulness has left me. Bind them around your neck. Think about it. Bind them around your neck.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that beautiful? I mean, it's like, it's an obvious thing. When it's wrapped around your neck, people, that's a faithful man. That's a faithful woman. That's a loving man, a loving woman.
No swoosh or nothing, but.
Right. Right. And think about it. It's so important. He says, even write them on the tablets of your heart. Which you have to abide with God for what we're talking about. We've got to hang out mm-hmm. with God to be able to, him to impart this into that's our right. lives. But let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. In other words, it's what you meditate on. You're thinking about, listen, I want to be faithful in this situation. You know, I told my boss if I ever do leave here, I would give a 2 weeks notice. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to leave well, and I'm going to arrive well. And if things don't work out well, I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to be faithful in that situation. And he says, when we do this, then you will win favor. People say, well, I don't have favor on my mouth. Well, you're not. Are you loving? Are you faithful? Are you faithful to God? I know we say this all the time, but you know, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. If 97% of professing believers, regular church attenders, are robbing God, they're not faithful mm-hmm. to God with his tithe. I mean, come on. How can you expect to find favor with God and man when mm-hmm. you are not even faithful to God with what he's entrusted to you? When you got one job, God bless you, one job, and now you're out looking for some other job.
Mm.
It's like, be faithful where you're at. Realize that that's not, I mean, you can, obviously you switch around and you can find, this is America right now. I mean, it could change. And it could be, where do you work at? Where they chain me to? They chain me to that rock and I work here. And he says, and if you'll do this, if you'll let love and faithfulness never leave you, bind them around your neck, write them on the tablets of your heart, then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God, which means there's a way to win favor and a good name in the sight of God. And man, listen, people right now are looking for somebody who has the ability and binds and writes on the tablets of their heart, binds around the neck, love and faithfulness, because they want to be able to give favor to somebody to begin to lead in their communities, in their churches, and in this nation. Listen, mm-hmm. today's wisdom moment is Proverbs 3, verses 3 and 4. Chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.